If you have your Bible, I want you to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14. It's a parable that Jesus is telling. Matthew 25 and 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants, and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, say after a long time.
After a long time.
The Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest to me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee. I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to preach to you a message that I have simply titled tonight, Well Done. You may be seated. It was a mild midsummer day on the 4th of July in 1776, when the United States Declaration of Independence was finalized, and it was adopted by 56 men, and it was signed and distributed throughout the colonies, the signing of the Declaration of Independence. A man named John Adams had convinced the Continental Congress, who was at war with Great Britain, to allow the young man named Thomas Jefferson to compose the document formally explaining their choices of independence from Great Britain. I may teach tonight, I'm not sure. We'll see how this goes. On the very same day that the signing of the Declaration of Independence happened in our nation, far across the Atlantic Ocean, the story has it that King George III of England wrote in his diary on the very same day, nothing important happened today. Nothing important happened. This was perhaps one of the greatest understatements ever made in history. The king assumed that nothing important had taken place on that day simply because he hadn't heard of it yet. If there was ever a sobering parable to me of the ones that Jesus taught, this parable that I've read to you in Matthew chapter 14 is it, or 25, I'm sorry. It's sobering to me because we have this uncanny ability to not see the bigger picture. Either of what God is working on in our own lives, or how God is using us, or how God is lining things up for our future. We have this ability to be like Jesus' disciples and only see the thing that we are in the middle of, such as the storm that they found themselves surrounded by, even though those disciples were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. He is the one who told them, get in the boat and go to the other side. But we have this tendency that personally drives me crazy. I'll just be honest with you. It drives me crazy how easily that we lose sight of eternity. We lose sight of eternity. It just happens because we have this innate ability to just be human beings. And we can find ourselves taking mental notes about our lives. And just like King George, we can write down on our lives today, nothing important happened today. But I've come to learn that the value that we place on something and what we call important is completely different than the value that God places on something. There are two different value systems. A personal value system is a set of principles or its ideas that drives you. It guides your behavior. Your personal value system gives you purpose. It helps you to determine what is meaningful to you, what is important to you. It helps you express who you are, what you stand for. If you are unaware of or you're being disconnected from your values, you end up making choices out of instant gratification or impulse. If you are disconnected from the values of solid reasoning and responsible decision making. Now, if you look at Jesus' parable of the talents, from a generalized worldview that we have, you would look at it and conclude that two of the guys were able to get some value out of what they had been given, and one guy was unable to produce any profit.
Right.
But if you look at it from God's value system, it would look like this. The value was not on how much profit they made. The value or the importance was placed on the faithfulness of the person to use what had been given to him. Anytime I've ever heard this preached, it is always preached from the focus of the message toward the guy that took his talent and buried it in the sand. Am I right? Anytime you hear this message, it is about the guy who took his talent and buried it. I imagine we can all think of that person that pops into your mind when you compare them to the guy who took what God gave them and buried it. But what about tonight, looking at the other two men in Jesus' story? What about the ones who were faithful with what they had been given?
Yes.
Every one of us have been given giftings and treasures from God.
Right.
We have this treasure in our earthen vessels that the Bible says is the treasure of Christ. And if you are a faithful person, then that faithfulness of your life comes to be relied on by other people and by those that you have influence over. If you are that steady, faithful person, it can even become taken for granted because you are faithful.
Uh-huh.
It's just a natural progression that happens in us as people. We know who we can count on and we know who we cannot count on because of the track record in their life called faithfulness. If you are one of those faithful men and women of God, you can tend to look at yourself. You came to the house of God today. You are faithful. You have done. You're doing what you always do. And you can tend to look at this today, even today, that the day of the Lord in our week. And you can even lean towards saying, nothing really important happened in my life today on this normal Sunday of my life. But God looks at the equation of who you are and what you've done today, and he asks the question, have you been faithful today? We must consistently remind ourselves of this because it's easy to lose sight of the truth that when we breathe our last breath and we say goodbye to this world, God is going to say one of two things over your life. He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Or he's going to say, well done, thou good and
faithful
servant. Your faithfulness in the things of God, your faithfulness in believing the word, standing on the word, is more important than you can even begin to acknowledge tonight. In 1 Thessalonians 3:8, you will hear the Apostle Paul commending the church there for its faithfulness. Paul even told them, I can go on living even in my discomfort because I know that you are being faithful. It's an incredible thought that our faithfulness in everyday things could have such a profound effect and carry such great importance that someone else who is in prison could go on living because you are being faithful to God. As human beings, we miss seeing in things that are important all of the time. Man used to think that the world was flat. Obviously, it is not. And if we miss seeing important things in the natural, it is even more true in the spirit, of spiritual realities. The Bible shows us that even Jesus' closest disciples missed the significance of many of his teachings, such as the parable of the talents. They did not understand that Jesus was teaching them to choose to be faithful even when no one is watching. So I want to challenge you tonight with some areas of remaining faithful. Number one, be faithful during a delay. I preached to you a message about living with a delay. I've asked you the question before. You've been in the middle of something, you've prayed for an answer, and you heard nothing. You are not alone in the camp of delayed answer. You remember when the prophet Daniel prayed, and he did not get an answer. For 21 days, he prayed faithfully. The angel that came to him told him that he had come because of Daniel's words, and because Daniel had set his heart toward understanding the things of God. The angel also was very clear that Daniel's prayer had been heard from the very first day that he prayed, but that the help coming to him was withstood, which means it had strong resistance against it. What if Daniel had stopped praying after 8 days? What if the opposition was so heavy and the focus turned off of faithfully seeking God and it turned toward marking another day off the calendar titled, "Nothing Important Happened Today"? When an answer that you are seeking God for is delayed, that is when you have an enemy that tries to dismantle your faithfulness in prayer. He whispers lies like, "What's the use of praying this long when nothing changes? Your prayers are of no effect. You don't even have enough faith to reach God.
Come on. Come on.
You don't have enough.
Enough.
You don't have enough to pray a miracle through. So you must not know God like you thought." There are many whose faith in God is shaken because of an unanswered prayer. And if I've seen it happen once, I've seen it happen 100 times. Praying for an answer and living without the answer. There's nothing in me that wants to embrace that. But there is something in me that stands to attention when I read of those Hebrew children who had a delayed answer. And the fire got hotter and hotter and hotter, and they had to walk into the fire, and yet they declared in the faithfulness of their heart, "God is able to deliver me, but if he doesn't, I will still be faithful to him, and I will still go into the fire no matter what."
That's right. Come on.
How does our faithfulness to trust God even measure in comparison to that? Those places that we call trials of faith, it's where you discover what you truly are. When God delays, does your faithfulness remain? Jesus said in his parable that the master who gave out talents to his 3 servants did not come back to them for a long time. There was a long delay in between what he gave to them and coming back to see what they did with it. 2 out of the 3. We're faithful in the delay. There's an enemy that will whisper lies trying to convince you that because of your delay, that none of this is real. God doesn't hear you. There's no point to your prayer. Convince you that you are nothing and nothing important happened today in your walk with God. Well, here's my answer to that tonight. Nothing important happened today. Nothing important happened. I'll tell you what happened today. I stood. I didn't waver. I wasn't tossed around like a wave of the ocean. You take that, devil, when you come at me and you say that nothing important happened. You think nothing important, but it did. I remained faithful to my King. I will not lie. lower my value system to the trappings of what seems to be mundane in this world. I will not bury my faith or my talents, my faithfulness in the sand. I am on my way to hearing, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yes, amen.
Come on. Hallelujah. Yes.
Be faithful in a delay. You're on your way to well done. Be faithful while you are learning. We live in a period of time between the beginning and the end. That's not a profound statement for you tonight. You think about it just a moment. We occupy the time period that comes after what Moses wrote about in the book of Genesis. And before the time that John tells us is going to happen in Revelation.
Right. Yes, we do.
We know how the story ends. There's a room already prepared in your Father's house.
Come on.
We know that we are loved by a Father, that He sent His Son to redeem us. That we are reconciled, restored, like you preached this morning, to God forever. And in all of these things that we know, we also know that in this frame of time that we live in, it is our challenge to walk through the challenges that life brings us without it stealing from us what we know.
Yes.
Do I need to say that again?
Yeah.
We already know how the story ends.
Yes.
It's our challenge to walk through the challenges without having challenges steal from us what we already know.
Yes. Come on. Yes. Yes, so true.
And it's very likely that most of us have heard the verse the Apostle Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content.
Right.
You've heard it quoted more times than you can count. It's not a verse that is quoted to someone who has everything going right. Job is good, the family is well, the outlook is happy, nice home, nice car, food to eat, spending money for whatever I want. You don't really have to tell somebody in that state of life to learn to be content. They usually are very content. People don't usually stand up and testify during the best days of their life, y'all pray for me, I'm learning to be content. It's not when it happens. It's much more likely that you will hear this verse shared or quoted when things are not so smooth in your life. Things are becoming challenges to your contentment, challenges to your peace. I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. So easy to quote, so hard to live. I have learned, Paul said. I have learned.
Yes.
Take some time to learn things. Yes. Of this nature, you do not learn these things overnight. No one wants to listen to the advice of someone who has never been in a particular place. Try to tell them how to walk through it. Nobody wants to hear that. So you need to realize that some of the battles that you've walked through, some of the places that you walk through, God has taken you through it so you can help somebody else make it through it. You cannot get up here. If you came up here and you began to describe to me what India is like, and you began to try to tell me what it smelled like, what it felt like, what the food tastes like, if you tried to describe to me the villages I was in, where I slept, what I ate, there's only one person in this room who can do that, and that's Roma. The rest of you, if you tried to come up here and tell me what it was like in India, I would raise both of my eyebrows at you and say, you have no idea what you're talking about. You've never walked there. No one wants to hear from someone who has not learned the things of Christ. If you don't know Christ and know the learning processes that you have to walk through with Him, then there will be a complete disconnect between you and the people that you are trying to minister to, because you will not be able to truly convey to them the deep things of God.
That's exactly right. Yes, ma'am.
It's the truth. The learning meant, Paul said, I have learned to be content or happy, whatever state I found myself in. That meant whether he was hungry or full, if he was bleeding from a beating or having his feet washed by those that he had traveled to preach to. That learning meant that whether he was in a nice home, sleeping on a warm bed, or in a prison, sleeping on a hard floor, locked in chains.
Yeah.
That meant whether he felt loved and listened to by those that he taught, or felt forgotten and disregarded by those that he taught.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It included all kinds of ups and downs, ins and outs, and he was able to say, I have learned, and in that learning, I am faithful. What is God trying to teach you?
Come on. Listen.
Yes.
Listen.
What are you learning? When I was in school learning, I got both green 100s on my exams and I got big red X's on my exams, but I was learning.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The enemy will come in and try to convince you that you are just treading water. That you are above and beyond all of the learning processes of God. You're not being fed. You're going nowhere. And that nothing important is happening in your life today. But I came to bust that lie in the head tonight. Nothing important is happening in your life. I'll tell you what's happening in me today. I remained faithful where God has me. I stood my ground. I didn't flinch. I didn't bury what God has given me in the sand. And I am still on my way toward hearing, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yes, amen.
Be faithful to God in the delay. Be faithful to God when you're learning. Be faithful to God when you are under pressure. In your life, in your walk with God, there are responsibilities, and with those responsibilities comes pressures. There are pressures of unseen spiritual worlds, pressures of dealing with people and everything that that entails. And a lot of times the pressures of ministry become the reason behind burnout in ministry. And if you burn out, you are no longer faithful with what God has given you. It's not usually easy to live out the delay, wearisome, heavy, the burden, the pressing, the pressure in spite of what you are learning through your delay, the forging ahead under the pressure. It's not usually a fly-by-night thing that you are able to do. It's even very possible in these days that we are living in that you will witness people laying down their faithfulness to God in this hour, people that you never expected to lay down their sword. It takes great faith to believe that God is able to deliver us from difficulties and pressures. But it's a whole different level of faithfulness to be able to stay under the pressure. Even if God does not deliver, I will be faithful to Him. Our faithfulness is of extreme importance. My little mama, she passed away 2 weeks before Logan was born. She was 5 feet tall, little, powerful little lady. She played the piano for 58 years in church. Just loved Jesus, loved people. For her little 5 foot tall friend, every time she would stand up and testify in church, she would stand up behind that piano and give her testimony, and then she would say, I just know one thing. I just want to be found faithful. In all of my life, whatever I do, I just want Him to find me faithful. That's all I want Him to find me. I don't have to be great in anyone's eyes. At the end of it all, I just want Him to find me faithful. You have to acknowledge that much more is happening than we even realize. And God is evaluating, He's measuring, He's weighing us in the faithfulness that we are walking in all of the time. Maybe your enemy thinks that you are no threat to him because you didn't wreak havoc on his kingdom of darkness today. Maybe he thinks that you did nothing except come to church and worship God and give him your all. So the enemy pulled out his journal and beside your name he mistakenly wrote down, nothing important happened today. Oh, but something important did happen today.
Yeah, come on.
You were faithful to God today.
Yes.
I've been faithful. You've been faithful to His word today.
Been faithful.
Faithfully stood in your place. I've tried my best to be faithful to God, even when I felt more weak than I felt strong. Faithfully taking my praise, my petition before the throne of God, even without hearing the answer. Faithfully learning what God is wanting to teach me. Standing my ground, not burying what God has given me in the sand. I am standing faithfully and not allowing my faithfulness to be threatened by this world. Nothing important happened today. Oh, yes, it did. I stood faithfully in the face of realities that tried to shake me. I stood faithful when my own strength failed me. Nothing important happened today. Oh, yes, it did. I stood faithfully, keeping myself submitted to the divine will of God. Remained faithful in the truth that God can deliver me from all trouble. Nothing important happened today. Oh, yes, it did. I stood faithfully, choosing to be committed to God, committed to His word, regardless of the outcome. The devil thinks nothing important happened today. Yes, it did. I'm in the house of God, and I'm worshiping God faithfully because He is a righteous, true judge.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You've been burying what God has given you. I'm asking you to turn it over to Him and ask Him to help you be a faithful servant.
Amen.
I'm living every day with the knowledge that hearing Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," is the goal of my life.
Amen.
I'll be honest with you, I'm coming to a close very quickly because I know we have a meeting. But I wanted to encourage you tonight, and I'll be honest, I'll be very honest with you. I started out in ministry as a 20-year-old kid. By the time I was 24 years old, the invitations to come and preach were coming from everywhere. I never called anyone, never told them that I was a minister, never said that I was an evangelist, but God was making this thing happen. Then the unction to preach changed in my life, and suddenly there was a different anointing, and things were happening, and miracles were happening, and pride tried to get a hold of that.
Yes.
I have nothing to hide from you. Pride tried to get a hold of that thing until I would walk into a service where I was not preaching. Walk in that place, sit down, walk down the aisle, evaluate everything going on in the room, sit down on that pew, never be acknowledged by anyone, and think, if you people just knew who I was.
Come on. Yeah, come on.
Not really get into the praise and worship, not really worship God, but sit there with my prideful self. You think God was considering that faithful? Faithful over what He had given me? No. And God said, "Honey, you got some learning to do."
Yes, we do.
And I'm going to take you through some learning places so that you can bring your little self down about 50 notches. And God took me through places and took things away from me and took slammed doors in my face that I thought would never shut. And things started changing until all I could do was fall on my face and said, "God, if I never preach another message, if you never use me again, if all you want me to do is pray for somebody, if all you want me to do is just walk up to somebody and say, 'Hey, I see where you are and I love you. Hey, I'm believing in the calling of God for you. If that's all you want me to do, here I am, but let me be faithful over what you called me to do. And don't ever let the enemy or my own self get in the way of the faithfulness over the giftings of God that He's placed in my life."
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's no reason to pretend like we're something we're not.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
God will. He will answer you after the delay. He will. You remain faithful. God will come through.
Yes, He will.
God will teach you. Even if you feel like you're learning nothing, He is teaching you, even on those days when you've said, "You know, I've already heard this. I've already got this." Actually, you don't. He's got another way, another another avenue to teach you.
Yes, come on.
And in the learning, be faithful. Under the pressure, be faithful. Because that is what God is going to say to you when you stand before him. Nobody, the church, I can't be there, pastor can't be there and say, yes, God. They were a great help in the church. They did what they could do. They were always on the worship team. They were always at the door shaking hands. They were always in the altar praying. Nobody can stand there and reassure God. You got to stand in front of him yourself. He's going to say, well done.
Yes. Well done.
Thou good. We know that there's nothing good in us. The only thing good in us is Jesus. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. So the only thing that he can call good is Jesus. So he's looking at you and he's saying, well done, thou vessel that was filled with Jesus. And faithful.
Yeah.
You have something to do with that. I have something to do with that.
Yes.
Whether or not I'm faithful to God.
Amen.
Your enemy and even your own mind would like to tell you nothing important happened today.
Oh boy.
But God.
Come on.
But God.
Yes.
But I'm standing in the house of God.
Yes.
With my hands lifted high to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Praise you, Lord.
Saying, if you deliver me, if you don't, if you heal me, if you don't, if you come through, if you don't, I'm going to be faithful to you and I'm going to offer you the breath in my body and worship you because you are a faithful God. Would you stand to your feet all over this room and lift your hands to the Lord right now and say, Jesus, I want to be found faithful. I want to be faithful to you. Come on, let's just corporately begin to tell the Lord, I want to be found faithful. I want to be faithful. Have you been faithful? On God's list of values, that one is the most important. Have you been faithful to him today? Then you have a reason to lift your hands and rejoice. And the that he can look at you and say, well done, faithful servant. Have you been faithful to use what you have? If you're standing here in this room tonight and you can say, I haven't. You can keep worshiping God. I'm not asking you to raise your hand. If you're saying in your heart, I don't feel like I'm being faithful to God. There's some areas I don't feel like God could call me faithful in. Then I want you to begin to talk to God right now and tell him, I'm sorry, Lord. I want to be faithful. If you are one of those faithful ones, the enemy begins to lie to you and tell you that you are not doing anything important. You remind him right now that you are a faithful servant of the Most High God. Faithful over little things. Faithful over assignments. Faithful over resources. Faithful over your job, over your business, over your family. It's important. It's more important than you think it is.
Faithfulness, faithfulness.
Father, in all things,